right, welcome back. News Radio 840 WHAS. Tony and Dwight Show brought to you by the Kentucky Office of Highway Safety. Bring in Nick Coffey, 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. on Sports Talk 790. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing today? Beautiful morning.
Oh, it's gorgeous. It has been, too. Sitting on the back deck and in the evenings going, are you kidding me? This is life right here. And we're going to get to
you can relax. Your kids are older. I'm to the point now where my kids get home from school and daycare and from 6:30 now about 9 o'clock because it's light outside very late. So I'm running around
making sure
they don't get run over in the streets. So it's fun, but a lot of work.
Sometimes I miss them at that age. Like I've always,
and I know I will at some point.
Right. So I don't miss book in bed time and and sometimes they just
night.
Not they just I'm not going to sleep pops not doing it
it is it, it's a there's a point in life where the things you look forward to will surprise you, and once the kids get to bed and I get to sit in the recliner and grab a beer, that's euphoric now, and I never thought that would be the highlight of my day, but it is
and you'll definitely, and I would go back, I'd do it all over again, man. You and I have this conversation all the time, and speaking of a long time, so I just heard the news at the top of the hour here a couple of minutes ago with Jeff Milby. LeBron James, you think he retires?
I don't. I think he is being LeBron James, and you know, he's done it throughout his entire career, always finds a way to keep his name being discussed. Now he will be, you know, he'd be discussed regardless because that's all you hear about when it comes to the NBA. And to his credit, it's because he's one of, if not the best that's ever done it in regards to just, you know, natural talent. But I think he is so dead set on playing in the NBA with his son that he will wait that out and at least have 1 year together. And his contract, it's going to be really fascinating because his contract sets up to where he will be able to opt out and when his son is draft eligible. And it's going to be really, really interesting to see which team drafts him just because they know they would get LeBron James. And I think last night was the first time he actually looked kind of old as a player, just looked like maybe, I mean, he had 40 points. It wasn't like the game passed him by, but just having LeBron on your team will change your market, will change your franchise. So, you know, he wants to play with his son, and I don't know if his son is good enough to be a long-term NBA player, but a team will draft him if it means they get LeBron.
This is how old I feel, because while you're speaking, I'm thinking of when Adam Neft and I were on the Underdogs talking
about
him.
Adam Neft.
What was his nickname? Oh, Notorious. Neftorious. That's what he used to call himself. Adam Neftorious.
Do you feel bad for always making him appear like such a nerd?
No, not at all, because I tried to... when he first got here, I said, man, I just did the little wave in front of his face and said, there's a lot to work on here. And he was like, what are you saying? I was like, you know what I'm talking about. So we were talking about him on the Dogs when he was in high school. And we had a show to where we were like, this is not a good sign because I don't know, no one's going to remember this. And I remembered it because he's had such an amazing career on and off the court. He was driving. This is before the one and done. This is before Kentucky did all their things and Duke doing their things and all that. And people just went to the NBA. He was in high school driving a Hummer, and he was on his phone, and he ran into the back of an elderly gentleman. And his mother, LeBron James' mother, had like this crappy line in the newspaper. And I said, we were talking about it in the air going, that's not a good sign. It's not a good sign. Here's this 17-year-old driving a $100,000 Hummer on his phone and runs into an old man. And the concern is, you know, did the Hummer get damaged? And that the mother was not, you know, didn't seem like she was doing whatever the right thing was. And then he has just really had very few missteps in the last 18, 19 years. It's the off-the-court success can't match the on-the-court success, but man, unbelievable, really.
Yeah, and he's done it as social media has become more and more, it really evolved throughout his entire career, and he has managed to, you know, I mean, not to say he, you know, we don't know any of these guys, and I know you know that, and it's important to remind folks that we think we know these stars, but we don't. However,
we do not.
He's just been, he has been super polished in that regard. I think the biggest knock on LeBron is, and it's understandable, is that sometimes I just want to say, oh, come on, LeBron. It's because he doesn't have a lot of, you know, I don't think he has anybody to tell him how he comes off at times, if that makes sense. Because, again, he's been in the limelight since he was a 16-year-old kid. And it's unbelievable how he has been able to really surpass what expectations were. I mean, that's
unbelievable.
It's really, really hard to do.
It's amazing. Or he made the deal with the devil. So I don't know what the deal is with that. But he
could be that.
That's interesting. All right. The reason I had you on was Dan McDonald had some interesting comments after the loss, to where you tell me it's the first time Louisville's missed the postseason since 70 or two out of the last 2-3 years.
It's the first time they've missed their conference tournament since about 70. I mean, they're not even eligible to play in the ACC tournament because that's how bad they were this year. So missed it 2 of the last 3 years. And, it's just clearly, to Dan's credit, he has built this program to where there are legitimate expectations. I mean, we had a caller yesterday. Never thought I'd hear this, and I know he does not represent a huge portion of the fan base, but somebody was fired up enough to call my show and say they think Louisville should let him walk and move on to somebody else just because he's not adapting to the new age of college athletics with the transfer portal and whatnot. So, look, Dan McDonald is Louisville baseball. I mean, for the most part, we all know that. But I find it fascinating because his comments, you know, and I laid it out yesterday. I think his comments maybe they are valid. Sounds like they are. He's been promised these things. They've actually had announcements, formal press conferences and releases to announce, you know, they're going to get these new facilities that he wants. And it's just never happened. And 3 years have passed. COVID got in the way. I wouldn't bring it up in that situation. I would have maybe found a different time to do it. I think it just, you know, the optics weren't great to bring it up whenever you've had 2 bad seasons in the last 3, and it has nothing to do with facilities. And he actually went on to talk about how he still does pretty well in recruiting. But again, to his point, these guys who committed were told they were going to be having these resources with these facilities, and it just hasn't happened just yet. But I think, you know, it was a little bit of a frustration for me because, you know, they want more coverage for sports like baseball, the folks at U of L. But if you don't cover it every inning of every game, like a, you know, select few do, then, you know, you just don't know enough. You can't have an opinion. What are you talking about?
Right.
All I know is that Dan McDonald is the 9th highest paid coach in college baseball, and he used his postgame press conference when the season came to an end to question the administration at U of L if they truly want to be good at baseball. That's a story. That happened. That's facts. You can, you know, say it was taken out of context. That's what he did. So,
well, on that note,
I don't know.
On that note, I know for a while the batting coach or the pitching coach, one of the two, was making as much as like 90% of the SEC coaches or something crazy. And I was like, the second guy is making as much as head coaches
are.
Yeah.
And it sounds like he's actually been sort of, you know, a guy that people have complained quite a bit about just with the pitching, just the way they use their bullpen and whatnot. But no, look, I think there's clearly been an investment in regards to the staff. But, you know, if you're U of L, I mean, you have to know baseball is never going to make, I mean, you know that. Baseball's never going to make you money. It's not a revenue sport.
Right. No, never.
So are you going to invest in something that you know you probably will never get a big return on? I mean, I don't know. I won't pretend to know the bankroll at U of L, but, you know, they've obviously had a lot of expenses with coaches, lawsuits, legal fees, and all that. So I don't think it's that they're telling Dan McDonald he's not going to get what they've discussed. I think they don't get it as big of a priority given the sport.
Well, and when you dive into it, it just seems ridiculous anyway that most of these kids are playing on quarter scholarships, half scholarships, and, you know, you're competing with Vanderbilt that has full scholarships for all those guys because they're private. I don't even know the breakdown, but I just know that guys that are two-time Mr. Baseball in their state are, and their parents are paying for college as they play baseball, seems insane to me. That's like basketball and telling them, well, no, you can't go to the NBA for 3 years and you only get a half a scholarship. I mean, that's
it's wild if you think about it, because these are guys who, you know, Dan McDonald, it's not just Dan. It's the profession that is a college baseball coach at a high level. You will recruit guys, and because of your scholarship limitations and just the amount, I mean, you can't even get full rides to most of the guys. So what you end up doing is you recruit a guy to go to a junior college, right? You recruit him and say, "Hey, I've got a great relationship. You're going to go play at Olney Central Junior College in Illinois, and we're going to come get you after 2 years, and then there'll be a half scholarship for you." So yeah, you got to be a really good salesman to make that kind of pitch, but that's just sort of what they've had to work with for a while. It really is crazy. And again, there are other sports that, you know, are also non-revenue sports that offer full rides. It just seems like baseball's never really been able to, you know, get the same treatment other sports do.
The other thing is Dan McDonald has always been off the field the guy that everyone loves, right? He's fiercely religious.
Look, he knows sort of, you know, where baseball falls in regards to fan interest. So you know what he does? He's phenomenal. He's super polished at being the PR guy, going on, you know, not just your typical media duties as a coach. He does a lot of PR stuff because he knows that's the name of the game. So no, you're right. He's always carried himself as good as anybody over there on Floyd Street.
So your opinion real quick, had a great relationship with Jurich, who hired him, correct?
Yep.
And then with Vince, I thought, didn't Vince commit to a bunch of facilities for them?
Yes, Vince was here and was instrumental in the big donation. I think it was $3 million, and I think Kroger was the one who put that towards these facilities. They had a formal presser. It was a big deal, and then COVID happened, and since then, it's just been backburnered, and of course, Vince isn't here anymore. So
About Josh? So he had a good relationship with Vince, and now, or iffy, because Tom wasn't there anymore, so they were repairing that with some stuff that didn't happen. And then now with Josh, what do you think is obviously what? I mean, he's asking for the commitment of the administration. Isn't that shot across the bow at the new guy?
No doubt about it. He indirectly, as I guess maybe politically correct as you can, called out his boss. There's no way around that. Now, to speak to their relationship, I don't know. You know, I think it's interesting with Josh, and this isn't necessarily a criticism like he's doing things the wrong way, but there's a vast difference in the way he is as an athletic director in regards to visibility. Tom and Vince were very much in front of the camera, in front of the microphone very often. You seem to have a pretty good feel for, you know, the way they were dealing with everything. And I just think Josh, because of his personality, and I think he even indirectly said it a few times, that's just not who he is. He's not going to go out of his way to, you know, Tom would call a presser because he had a good breakfast and want people to celebrate it.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's an exaggeration.
Either way.
Yeah. So that's just not how Josh is going to operate. But all I can do is, you know, react to what we see and what we hear. We haven't heard much of anything from Josh about baseball. Not that we necessarily need to, but I know the coach called him out. I mean, that's essentially what happened.
All right. How are things going in afternoon? So you're keeping good. It rolling? You got it rolling?
Oh, yeah. No doubt about it. I had a really fun thing play out on the show yesterday. One of the chopper cams for LKY posted a video of this dude hanging from the new Baird building. Used to be the PNC building. It's the second tallest building in Louisville. There are 40 stories on it. And I just, you know, this guy looks like a total badass, just hanging off of the second tallest building in Louisville, painting it, you know, just looking like a total badass. And I tweeted out, you know, I have questions how you end up in this position doing this job.
Yeah.
And said I wanted to get him on the show. Sure enough, somebody let him know and he called in.
That's fantastic.
And we talked to him about, you know, how he started as a window washer and, you know, that's a job that you probably don't have a ton of competition for because not many people are willing to be that high in the air. And, you know, it was an interest. It's just, you never in the afternoon, especially when there's not, you know, basketball and football season going on, you never know what direction you're going to go. And I think that's what makes what we do fun.
Yes. I'm very familiar with that, but it's a great sign. It's a great sign. Forget ratings and doing whatever. I don't know if they're great or bad or whatever, but when you call somebody out like that and then the person calls, that lets you know everything you need to know about your listenership.
Sure.
All right, Nick Coffey, we didn't even get to the top five beers, which I've been following on your Facebook. We'll do that next time when Dwight is in here, for sure. All right, Nick Coffey, 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. on Sports Talk 790. Have a great day, buddy. Enjoy the weather.
See you, Tony. Take care,
buddy. All right, man. Nick Coffey, good friend of ours, and of course, just down the hall. All right, back after this. You keep it where you got it. News Radio 840 WHAS. All right, Courtney Donahoe with the Bloomberg Money Minute. Hello, Courtney.
Hey, Courtney.
Hello. What's going on, boys?
How you
today?
Doing?
You're upstairs. Still...
How you do? Oh, wow. You're sounding very New York to me today.
Should I leave the room? Are you guys good?
Nah, we'll do this in front of you. We don't care.
Yeah.
We're not shy.
You know, secret lovers.
Oh, Lord.
That's what we are.
Do you know what today is?
Today is Drink with a Chicken Day.
Oh, okay.
Did you know that?
Then World Turtle Day.
It's also Drink with a Chicken Day.
Mm.
What do you mean Drink with a Chicken Day?
That's what day it is. Look at your show prep.
You're supposed to get drunk with a chicken?
It's also Turtle Day. Which, by the way, turtles have been around since 6,000 BC, if I recall correctly.
I'm very proud of you.
Turtles?
Yeah,
turtles been around longer than 6,000 BC.
It's also Lucky Penny Day.
Oh.
Lucky
Penny.
See a penny, pick it up. All day long, you're going to have good luck.
For some reason, I was using actual cash the other day and actually got change back. And I was like, oh, change. And I got a 1941 penny. With a little 1 cent on the back. Huh? 41.
Well, I'm sure that poor person who's the cashier really liked you making faces at her.
Hang on real quick. Exactly. Because I got to do this on air.
Yeah.
Okay.
How much is a 1941 penny? It's worth a penny. Wow.
Ah, fantastic.
Deal.
It's worth a penny. Even though as my son hates pennies, he wrote a paper in grade school on how stupid pennies are. And one of the reasons is it cost a penny and a half to make a penny.
Yeah. No, that's true. That is quite true.
Yeah, but Penny from Lost in Space, there's an argument for her.
Yeah, that's right? A person, not a currency, but that's fine. Good for
How
you.
Do you know she wasn't used as currency on Lost in Space?
Oh, now you're just being ridiculous.
I'm just saying, you meet some Martians.
Oh,
that,
my
you know,
gosh.
We have never seen a penny before.
Because that's what Martians sound
that's
like.
That's what they sound
the way,
like.
Courtney.
You know, speaking of money, though.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people are spending on things, daily expenses, like your Starbucks habit or your streaming subscriptions or
right.
dinners out.
Yep.
But travel company Kayak has a new budgeting tool. Okay. It's called the Vacayvaluator. So it allows travelers to plug in their expenses in order to suggest vacations that they could afford by rerouting their spending. So it's a way, you know, cut back on your avocado
What's
toast
the website?
Habit and you could go to Maui.
What's the website?
It's called the Vacayvaluator.
It helps couples evaluate their expenditures so they can afford a vacation.
Oh, thank you.
Well, where would you go if you could go anywhere?
Cabo San Lucas is the only place we
oh,
go.
Oh, gosh. I want to go. I want to do the Europe trip because
no!
I want to do. I want to travel. I mean, come on, man. You got to do Europe. Italy, Greece.
Italy is lovely.
Oh, I want to go.
I love
so
going.
Bad.
I did Rome. Then Florence, then Venice.
Yeah, but that flight, amazing. How long is that flight?
Who cares?
Oh,
it's
I care.
Fantastic. And
it's not that bad.
It's funny because we always, you know, I made a trip to Philadelphia and you're like, I can't believe I'm standing in a house that's 300 years old. And of course you go to Europe and they're like, 300, that's cute.
Exactly.
This
that's,
house
that's
is
nothing
1,300 when years old, right? And you're like, what?
Yeah, you should see the castles. Going to Ireland too. That's another place though. I used to have to go to Ireland all the time because my parents are from there. So we would go during the summers, and you would see these castles that are thousands and thousands of years old, and it was just amazing to watch. But it's so cold over there. I don't understand how people would want to go on vacation.
When you were in Ireland, did you play with a shillelagh?
All right.
Or maybe kiss any Blarney Stones?
All right. The market
no,
today.
No, but you can go out to the clubs at a very young age there. And
welcome to the Blarney Stone.
Yeah, welcome to the country where, you know, you take the kids off to the bar and it's a normal normal sort of experience.
Kind of like their existence.
I swear.
Oh, there it is.
There it is. Or it's so miserable you have to be drunk all the time. That's,
oh, my God.
Hey,
but
you
it's
still,
so cold
you still
there.
You still volunteering at the tuberculosis clinic?
Yeah. I do TB clinic on the side. Oh, my goodness.
Thank
I just want to feel better. Ugh. But
all right.
Anyway,
all right.
Taking
last
a look
break.
At the markets. things are a little changed right now. The Dow not really moving too much anywhere. The S&P 500 down 0.2%. But the showdown in Washington really has dominated sentiment in the markets in recent days because the talks are going down to the wire. But the risk you have to remember is catastrophic financial and economic disruption. So hopefully politicians will be able to come to their senses relatively soon. But who knows about that? The Nasdaq, though, down slightly. It's down 0.1%. With the News Radio 840 WHAS Bloomberg Money Report, I'm Courtney Donahoe.
Welcome back. News Radio 840 WHAS, the Tony and Dwight Show, brought to you by the Kentucky Office of Highway Safety. Put the phone down. Buckle up.
And felt it caressing my face as I fell asleep.
Consumer magazine television show / television show decided to find out by entering one of the worst supermarket wines into one of the top competitions in the world. And I've always wondered, really, do people, can they, because they say, oh, that was a good wine. Oh, it was a terrible wine. Really?
It was a gold medal at the Saumonier Festival de la Poix.
And I'm not going to say I ran into Julie Baum from the Catholic Education Foundation buying 6 bottles of wine.
I thought she used to buy boxes. Wednesday.
Yeah, boxes of wine.
Yeah,
she's a box wine. Yeah. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, Julie likes box.
Yeah, there we go. They enlisted the help of Belgium's most renowned competition.
Ooh.
Right? Once selected, they switched the label with a more eye-catching one reading, Chateau Clumbier, and created a backstory, so they lied. Okay.
So they made up a backstory for the cheapest, worst supermarket wine they could find.
Slapped a label on it, made up a backstory, and entered it into this wine competition, right?
So far, I like this story.
They also presented various forms of documentation and quote-unquote lab data that they had hunched that they would be verified. So they didn't know. So they got it, right?
Okay, so it gets in.
It got in the competition. And it won.
Aha! Yes!
Chateau Clombier. This is a $2.70 bottle of wine from one of these worst supermarkets. I'm going to guess Walmart. But $2.70 wine. The judges described it as a suave, nervous, a quality of fresh wine. That's what nervous means, Dwight.
I like a good Chateau Lafite.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lance.
Thank you, Lance. Yeah.
Me and Suzanne drink it.
And a rich palate with clean, young scents that promises a nice complexity. Let me say it again.
Look how smart I am.
Let me say it again. This is all from a $2.70.
A bad. You said they look for a poor.
Yes, $2.70 bottle of wine. A suave, nervous, rich palate with clean, young scents that promises a nice complexity.
It's like me, fruity yet bold.
Yes.
I wonder if they did this thing where they go.
And then they spit it.
They spit it out.
Yeah,
you're right.
They spit it out.
Spitters or quitters, by the way.
Yeah, for sure.
You got to drink it down.
Yeah, dude.
Wow. Hey, I'm going to throw you a curveball, Rick. How fast can you pull up, don't play it yet, War Summertime? Because we came in with Spill the Wine.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great song.
And it reminded me last week, I was listening to a channel and they were doing something called War Stories. And they had the guys from War come on every once in a while and tell stories. So they did a greatest hits album War did back in the 70s.
Yeah.
And they were the first band to ever put a new single on a greatest hits album. Name of that single that also became a hit was Summertime. And the guy was talking about how they were in the studio recording or going through the greatest hits and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And he went to Burger King. And he was sitting there eating his Burger King. And he started hearing the, have it your way, have it your way.
No.
Listen to this song right
no.
here. Summertime. Does he have it?
No, I've got summer, not summertime.
Or summer. Go ahead.
Oh, summer.
You will. It's coming up.
This walk up is really long.
You can get the weather and all the sports scores on this.
White hair looks good.
Does
yeah,
it?
It does today.
Hang on. I think it's part of where it dips into it.
What do you think? Here we go.
Have it your way into something. They just use that.
I've always disagreed with these lawsuits. Okay, it's similar, but isn't there only a certain amount of notes? And
now I'm ready for summer.
So did they win their lawsuit? So the guy's...
No, there was no lawsuit. He just admitted. He goes, we ripped this off from Burger King. I was sitting in the car. I was having a Whopper. And I heard, have it your way. And turned it in.
Oh, wait. You mean they stole it from Burger King, not the other way around?
Yes. Yeah. They were in the studio working on the Greatest Hits album. He went up, got some Burger King. He heard the theme song. And then came back and said, hey, we got to do something about summertime.
That's crazy.
And so they wrote Summer. And here it comes.
Have it your way.
Yeah, so anyway, I just thought it was a cute little story.
It is a cute story.
Thank you, Rick.
New York City's new love drug.
I saw this.
It's marijuana laced with aphrodisiacs.
Isn't marijuana actually an aphrodisiac of some sort, though?
That or a sleep aid. In the Big Apple, marijuana is becoming the city's love drug of choice. Cannabis products are now infused with aphrodisiacs that's said to improve the sexual experience of those making the purchase. One dispensary is selling, remember, dispensary, that means New York is yet another state that has recreational marijuana, is selling love beads for arousal.
Love beads? That's
not what you think. No,
love
stop.
Love beads, I think.
No, no.
Okay.
A box of 20 dark chocolates made with cannabis and 5 exotic herbs renowned for the love-enhancing properties to increase sensuality. Man, they're going to come up with some freaky stuff, dude. Market experts say it's just a matter of time before THC and SEX join forces in stores.
I knew a kid that ordered something called a Spanish fly when he was young, and it didn't work.
Well, that was right after you got the x-ray glasses. I mean,
now, who said it was me, man? I never said it was me. Okay. I just said it was a kid that I grew up with and I knew did that.
A box of 20 dark chocolates. It's not a bad idea. You eat it, you get stoned and horny.
Right, but I have heard that. Never mind. KFC introduced a new version of the nuggets. Speaking of that, chicken nuggets, sorry. Back in March. I kind of want to try these. It's
what kind are they?
Well, listen to this. They introduced it in March, and they're going so wild for it that the public is to the tune of 10 million sold in less than 8 weeks.
Really? What's the?
It's fried, it's hand breaded, and it has the original KFC chicken.
Herbs
and spices.
Whoa!
So it tastes like the chicken leg or the chicken breast or whatever, but no bone. So you just pop the nugget in your mouth.
Oh, I thought you said McDonald's.
No, KFC.
And then I was like, wait, they can't use 11 herbs and spices at McDonald's.
No, it's KFC, but it's the original recipe chicken. You know, 11 herbs. So when you, You know, it tastes like the regular chicken.
Whatever they put into the chicken nuggets at McDonald's, nothing else on earth tastes like that. Like, it's a unique taste, and I'm not sure.
Have you ever seen on the internet
what the mix is? What?
The mold that they make those with?
Well, you got to make it, you know, make it look like something. But yeah, let me tell you, you get a, if you have a teenager in your house, most likely they're eating Jesus chicken at, what's the Chick-fil-A?
Chick-fil-A, that's right. Yes,
but if they're not.
Today's not the day to eat chicken. Today's the day to get to Barino's Pizza, where 20% goes for Officer Wild. Who do we have? Yes,
Christian Brothers Roofing. If you've got, or if you need a roof, you got to give them a call or go to ChristianBroRoofing.com. Okay. I just saw, was that your text? Somebody saw.
Yes, Joey Strader.
Yeah, said I had an issue. I thought I had damaged, having problems with the insurance company. And guess what? Christian Brothers Roofing came out, saw it. They took it from there. They're going to get a new roof. 244-0208. Do you have damage? 244-0208. Call it now. They'll walk the roof. Take it from there. ChristianBroRoofing.com. Back after this. News Radio 840 WHAS.